We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Herbie, let's go.
Lawrence Holmes live from Chicago, middays noon to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and Odyssey Station.
Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Can you dig it?
Tuesdays at 1, we talk with Cam Ellis, and I always look forward to it. He's on the Twitch, too. Twitch.tv/Chicago670TheScore. He writes for us here at The Score and takes care of everything around the Odyssey Empire. He's fun, and he joins me now on the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline. Circa Resort and Casino out in Las Vegas has the best sports book. You should go there. You should go and do your sports betting there in their crazy, crazy sports book. It is awesome. Cam, thanks for joining me, sir.
Of course. Thanks for having me. How you doing?
I'm doing all right, man. I was looking at some of your tweets and just laughing about what we should take away from Matt Nagy's big win last Thursday. It seemed like they thought it was a big organizational shift, didn't it, Cam?
You know, don't let the Bears get hot now. You never know. You pick up a couple games here and there, and they're a dangerous 7 seed in the wild card. It all starts with Detroit. It always starts with these wins in Detroit, I feel like, right?
Yes, it always starts with Detroit. And weirdly enough, I don't say this to bring anyone's hopes up, just to tell you how bad the NFC is. They are only one game out of a playoff spot right now.
Yeah,
but
right.
If you look at the next three games, it doesn't look like they're going to be able to pick up one of those games in the next three.
Yeah, and I wanted to say Football Outsider today released the strength of schedule for the rest of the year, and the Bears had, I think, the second hardest strength of schedule going forward. Like they still have the Vikings twice and have to play in Seattle and Green Bay, and so – yeah, it's fun to be in the hunt because otherwise, like, we'd be watching pointless football right now, and there's not a whole lot of excitement to, you know, like, watching last night's game between Washington and Seattle. You're sort of like, this is fun because it's football, but, like, these are two kind of bad football teams. I don't quite get the appeal. So, it's they're in the hunt. The Bears are always in the hunt until they're extremely not, but it'll be fun for the next couple weeks here, I feel like. So I'm enjoying it because that January Giants game on January 2nd is going to be brutal. And so I'm just trying to enjoy like football that technically means something while we still have it.
I thought it was interesting too. One of the things that you were saying about the Bears handling of the Matt Nagy stuff is it was kind of brought up like a trope of, well, then they'd have to answer to every report that's out there. And you're right. Like, it's not like they do whatever they want anyway. Like, no one really seems to be able to force their hand. And they don't necessarily have to answer every report. But that one felt like something that you might want to step in front of.
Yeah, you know, I thought that, like, you know, like you pointed out, I thought that line of argument was sort of flawed because, like, when has any NFL owner had to do anything they didn't want to do? Like, it is the perfect job if you can get it because you just make money hand over fist and answer to literally no one. So I don't think the Bears would have had to answer to every single report had they answered to this one. I thought it would have been a nice gesture if, you know, any part of this was true, to sort of save face and publicly say that, you know, we're not going to fire our coach for the first time in our illustrious history in the middle of the season because he can't get an offense going like that. It would not have been that hard to do. The Bears obviously chose not to do it, which is not entirely surprising by any means, but you know, maybe this bought Matt, maybe like this, there's something, the silver lining is that maybe it bought Matt Nagy, what, 5 or 6 more games here. Like I can't imagine, I at least am sort of the belief that this was probably going to happen, but things got out before the Bears realized it. And this maybe bought Matt Nagy, you know, a month or two. And I had a lot that's probably a conspiracy theory, but I like to think everyone like picks and chooses which conspiracy theories they buy into. And I think I'm going to like fully buy into this one.
I'm not going to buy into that one, but I do think that, okay. I mean, I appreciate you buying into it. I understand why anyone would, but I do think that they shouldn't, like, to me, that's another thing that I find weird, is the idea of just because the Bears haven't done it before means that they're not going to do it now. I don't know if there's ever been a better incentive than to be able to get an early start on your new head coach by firing. I guess technically you could skirt that by telling Matt Nagy that he's going to be fired and then starting to do the press, the interviews with head coaching candidates. But there's never been a better time to fire a coach during a season than 4 weeks from now. Like, just, and then you could just start, and you could start figuring out what your football operation is going to look like.
Yeah, no, I think that's a good point. And I think that comes back to the Bears. You know, a sane, functional organization would do exactly what you're saying. Like, that is the pragmatic, smart way to hire a coach in today's NFL. I mean, you can look at college coaches right now and see, like, people are not waiting around to hire the coaches they want. Like, go get your guy. But the Bears don't work like that, from what I've seen. You know, the Bears operate within the realm of their legacy and the history of their organization and the McCaskey family. And, you know, the NFL theme song plays every time I feel like we talk about the Bears. And they have this way of operating that is so, like, NFL films and not based in reality. And so I think that, like, I think every PR people go, oh, the Bears couldn't stumble over themselves that much, could they? And I go, like, yes, they very easily could. This is an organization that thrives on stumbling over themselves. So I think that I agree that it's probably time to cut the whole we don't fire coaches midseason shtick, because, like you said, there is a competitive disadvantage to that at this point. But, like, nothing the Bears do, there's no level of PR disaster that would surprise me at this point, just because they have sort of checked off all the boxes in that term.
Is there anything that you can wrap your head around that makes you interested in watching the next few games with the Bears? That's Bears related, not opponent related, but Bears related.
Yeah, you know, I think that there are, you know, Justin Fields is obviously the big one. I think that the Justin Fields factor would make basically every Bears game interesting through the end of the year, in terms of just development and watching, you know, that there was that play in the Pittsburgh game when he sort of rolled out and just sort of like lofted one over the head. I think it was like in the first quarter or something. And it was a play that, you know, you sort of stop what you're doing and go, oh my God, like that was worth the price of admission almost, because Bears fans are not used to seeing that kind of play. And even though it was a disastrous game, like, there's hope in those types of plays and throws. So Justin Fields, you know, you like to see Darnell Mooney continue on. Cole Kmet, let's see some of these young guys continue to play well or to play better than they have been, and see how teams can finish out a lackluster year. And then you just sort of start, I think, watching the bowl games for draft season, right? Like, it's my least favorite season of all in the NFL, but it is draft season soon enough. So I guess you sort of turn from a fan into a scout, and maybe that's how you survive whatever, like, the next 4 or 5 weeks has in store for us.
Well, Cam, I'm wondering, you covered the team, you used to be up at Hallis Hall all the time. Considering what's happened this year and what happened last week, Do you think that it's even in this organization to take a long, hard look at how they do things? And I'm not saying that they I am saying that they need to make wholesale changes. But but I wonder if even up there, like, has the message gotten even up there, like, you know, we need to change a lot. Not everything. Like, you don't want to run away from your incredible heritage stuff, but you might need to make some changes on how you approach running a football operation. And I wonder if that message has gotten through to the highest levels of the Bears.
Yeah. You know, I want to preserve my spot on a weekly Bears show like this by saying, yes, there's hope, but, like, I don't feel too optimistic about it now. I just don't see the evidence that shows me that the Bears are a team that realizes how bad they really are. Like, they didn't realize it through the Mitch Trubisky era. They haven't realized it through the Ryan Pace era. It seems like it took them a while to realize it through the Matt Nagy era. And that's only in the last half decade, right? Like, people smarter than me about Bears history could go on for years and decades almost about how they don't seem to really conceptualize what the product on the field is. So, you know, it only takes one smart hire to change everything. So maybe, you know, a blind squirrel will find the nut, as the expression goes, every once in a while. So maybe the Bears just eventually get lucky and pull a good hire and things turn around. But I would not go into this offseason going, the top of the Bears organization knows what they're doing. This will be fixed. We got the quarterback. Things are fine. Because the organization doesn't really know how to put together a winning football team. They know how to put together a winning football brand. They know how to put together a profitable football organization in that sense. But winning football hasn't been a aspect of this, you know, modern organization. And it's sort of hard to blame them because they're still making oodles of money. Like, it sounds cynical, but I don't really necessarily blame a owner. I do blame them. I understand when an owner doesn't feel the same pressure to win that a fan does, because, you know, they still get their returns at the end of the year versus a fan. So I don't have a lot of faith. Like I said, it only takes one hire, but, like, let's see that hire happen before we start trusting anything going on up there.
Cam, as always, I appreciate the time. That's a great point about them having a winning football brand, but not a winning football organization. They hold on to that for dear life as the selling point of why their job is attractive. I think it's a wonderful point made by you. Cam, have a great week. Thanks a lot for being on the show.
Of course. Thanks for having me. I'll talk to you next week.
You got it. That is Cam Ellis from our staff. Follow him on Twitter at Kingsley Ellis. That's where you can find him. He's tremendous and he's sharp. So I'm glad we brought him and made him a part of this squad, because, you know, he covered the team and he's close to the team, but he's just sharp. He gets it and gets what we're trying to do. But before we take a break, some of you may have missed this on yesterday's show. I had Alex Brown on the show yesterday. He was tremendous. Like, we ran over the time that was allotted for the segment, but that usually happens when AB is on the show. He brought up a point. Because even I was talking about being sympathetic to the way that for what Matt Nagy was going through. And I think that when it comes to the high school game, like, that's pretty much the line for me is there. But he made an excellent point about the difference between a player getting cut and a coach getting fired. Take a listen.
Well, see, I think a lot of people have a different feel for this than I do. When a coach comes under, for lack of a better word, I'm going to say under fire about his job, I don't feel bad. It's because his boss doesn't believe he's doing his job. And if that's the case, then he gets fired. Matt Nagy, or any head coach of an NFL football team, sits in their office and they tell at least 30 guys every year, yeah, it's the end of the road here. And they fire players. And that player is supposed to leave and pick up where they can and try to make it work somewhere else. Well, hell, why is it different for him? If his boss don't believe he's doing the job, then, hey, I mean, time to go. So, but the difference is that when the player signed that 2-year deal or that 3-year deal, he doesn't get it. Once he's released or cut or however you want to put it or fired, he doesn't receive that money. If they fire Nagy, he's still going to receive the rest of his money. And that's the difference.
So you have less sympathy for a coach because there's a lot of...
No. Oh, not less. None. I have zero sympathy for a coach because they're going to get paid anyway. So, and they'll get another job. Him being a head coach, he'll get an OC job somewhere. He'll get a he could always be a head coach in college. I mean, he could do it if he wanted to. The player can't just go play, and he can't go play in college. He's not just going to pick up another job somewhere. It's hard. It's a lot more difficult than I think people realize when a player is getting cut like that. So, yeah, I don't have any sympathy for it. But as far as what was swirling around Chicago, I think everybody, I don't want to say the Bears organization isn't thinking this, but when you look at the other sports throughout the city, I think the fans are really speaking to what they want. When you're at a Bulls game and the Bulls are getting beat by 30 and they're chanting fire Nagy, I mean, that's, their mind is on something else, you know? So, it's reached that point, honestly. It's reached the point where it's like, well, what are we doing? He was coach of the year when he first got here, his first year, and was tricking everybody. It was cute. I use the word cute. It was cute then when it's 4th and 1 and you go 4 wide and you run a double reverse pass and it worked. Well, that stuff don't work. Not in the NFL. It doesn't work very long. So now you got to play football and you got to actually come up with a scheme and adjust at halftime. And he doesn't do well at that. So just look at his third quarter scoring since he's been here. Like we rarely score points coming out of halftime, rarely. So where's the adjustment? And I've never been in that locker room with him at halftime, but I'm pretty sure it goes something like this. Hey, guys, let's do what we're doing better. Well, coach, that isn't an adjustment. it's just not an adjustment. We have to adjust to what they're doing. And that's from what I see, we don't do a very good job of adjusting to what we're seeing on the football field from the first half to the second half.
It's a wonderful analysis from AB, and he's right. Like, if you look at it, we use the word released or cut when we talk about players, and we use the word fired when we talk about coaches or GMs. But really, the player's fired. And there aren't a lot of players that have guarantees that go through being fired, whereas the coaches have all of them. He changed my perspective on it. It's great stuff from Alex. This is why he's one of the best in the business. We're going to take a break. It's been a wild, wild 72 hours in college football. And now Notre Dame needs a head coach. Can you believe that? Matt Fortuna is going to join me to talk about what he heard from Swarbrick and what happens now in South Bend. That's next here on The Score.
Lawrence Holmes live from Chicago, middays noon to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and Odyssey Station.
Other than retiring from your current profession, could you see yourself leaving Notre Dame of your own volition?
No. I mean, look, I think Mike Tomlin had the best line, right? You know, unless that that fairy godmother comes by with that, you know, $250 million check, my wife would want to take a look at it first. I'd have to run it by her.
Probably just said no. Because he gone now. He going to Baton Rouge. For reportedly 10 years and $95 million with incentives. And now it looks like LSU is also trying to pry away a bunch of assistants from Notre Dame. I need someone to help me out with this. Matt Fortuna is great. He works over at The Athletic. You can check him out on Stadium Network as well. He's got the Shamrock Podcast. And he was nice enough to pick up the phone and talk with us on the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline. Circa Resort and Casino. Go and get yourself a trip to Las Vegas and hang out in their sports book. You will not regret it one bit. Matt, what has the last 72 hours of covering college football been like?
Yeah, it's been that long. I know it's been one kind of loop for me. I wasn't sure what the number was on it. Well, first of all, thanks for having me, Lauren. It's always a pleasure to get to talk to you and your listeners, and especially at a time like this where, no one knows anything, right? It's just been absolute chaos. I mean, when I saw the news Sunday that USC was going to hire Lincoln Riley, my jaw dropped. I mean, that was just, at least in my lifetime, I cannot remember a sitting head coach at a blue blood leaving kind of in the dark for another blue blood the way that happened. I know Jimbo Fisher left Florida State for Texas A&M a few years ago, but that one was pretty much an open secret. Jimbo had been openly flirting with a number of jobs for a number of times. This one completely blindsided everyone. And quite frankly, it was completely outdone less than 24 hours later. Brian Kelly leaving Notre Dame for LSU. Just absolutely shocked me. I knew that LSU was interested. I knew plenty of people were interested in Brian Kelly. But talking to folks around Notre Dame in the day or so since that news broke, I mean, to say everyone is stunned would be an understatement. I mean, it just, no one saw this coming. You can, I'm sure blame will be passed around. And I'm not saying anyone's wrong in their finger pointing, but this was absolutely a surprise that no one saw coming. And look, you introduced me by playing that clip that Brian Kelly, I think a week ago today or 8 days ago today, had said when he denied interest in other jobs. It's funny, he brought out the $250 million figure in that quote. And that was my initial gut reaction when I heard he was leaving was, well, maybe he wasn't lying. Like, LSU is known to break the bank for coaches. Maybe he actually is getting that much money, the same way Lincoln Riley didn't lie when he said, I'm not going to LSU, which he didn't. He went to USC. The reporters just asked him the wrong question, apparently. I thought maybe there was a chance he was telling the truth, not to sneeze at a nine-figure deal, but $100 million is a hell of a lot less than $250 million. Like, he did not leave solely for the money.
I've been trying to figure out, because Notre Dame forever has been a destination job, and I get that he's been there for, 12, 13 years or so. What does LSU have that Notre Dame doesn't or can't get?
It's a fair question, and Jack Swarbrick, the Notre Dame athletic director, had a press conference earlier today, and he said there were other things that were attracting Brian to LSU. He wasn't exactly clear on what those things were, and he said he didn't feel like Notre Dame was lacking in anything that would make it attractive to whomever they want to be their next head coach. But it was surprising. It's like you said, I mean, this, I don't want to say it's easy. I don't want to say it's on autopilot. A lot of this was Brian Kelly's doing. It's easy to forget just what a dark place this football program was in 12 years ago, almost this week now, when Brian Kelly was hired from Cincinnati to take over at Notre Dame. But it was in really bad shape. I mean, remember, the questions were, can they ever be good again, right? It wasn't like Nebraska bad right now, but it was close to that. And within 3 years, he had them playing Alabama on the game's biggest stage, and he's had them in multiple playoffs since. And they're now in the middle of the winningest five-year stretch in program history. They have won 10 or more games in five straight years, which has never happened before at Notre Dame. He is the winningest coach in the history of Notre Dame, which happened this year with his win at Wisconsin against Wisconsin in Chicago back in the fourth week of the season. Every comment Brian Kelly ever gave about this place was, we're in total alignment from the top down. You can't put a price on that. Not everywhere is like that. I know how good I got it here, et cetera, et cetera. And I'm paraphrasing to some extent there. But they all indicated that, this place really knew what it was about, knew what it was doing, and had a great short and long-term plan for the future. And the other part that we haven't even gotten to yet, which is just, I still can't wrap my head around, 5 days from now, Notre Dame can wake up as one of four teams in the college football playoff, one of four teams with a shot at the national championship. I mean, the idea of an interim coach or a new hire taking over next week, and who knows, maybe winning the national title. I mean, again, is it likely? No, but it's there are six teams right now that can literally dream that, and it won't be a farce. And Notre Dame's one of them right now. The idea of them maybe winning a national championship this year and Brian Kelly not being there to see through everything he's built toward and for over the last 12 years is comical. It just mind-boggling to me.
Yeah, I was struggling with that too. Like earlier today, I was saying like there's still a chance to win a national championship in Notre Dame, and maybe we're victims of being too close to it. But to me, I get the money was on the table right now, and I'm not begrudging him for taking the money. It just seems like that's one of the places where if you wanted to win a national championship and be legendary, even with the legendary history of Notre Dame, considering where the program has been over the last 20 years, damn it, you got a shot. Like, and it's not even that weird of a scenario. Like, Cincinnati loses, Notre Dame finds themselves in a really great position. So it is weird. So how are they going to approach this? Because as we speak, it seems as if the coaching staff at Notre Dame is kind of being plucked away to maybe go to Baton Rouge with Brian Kelly.
Yeah, I mean, that's usually how these things work, and the timing, I mean, the timing's never good, right? But, like, the fact that this isn't, you know, we saw a lot of in-season firings and hirings this year, right? All of them were for mid-tier or poor programs. Like, as bad as you felt for the players on those rosters who had the administrations and coaches basically punt on their seasons for them, this season could end with a trophy. Even if they don't make the playoffs, they're going to a really good bowl game. They have a chance to go 12-1, which is nothing to sneeze at wherever you are. I mean, I spoke to someone close with Brian Kelly last night who said, you know, this is a direct quote, in the end, I personally felt like his legacy at Notre Dame was going to be too important for him to do this, but it is what it is. This is the life we choose, end quote. And I think there's that echoes a lot of sentiments that are swirling around the air in South Bend right now. I mean, it's not out of the realm of possibility that Notre Dame is in the college football playoffs. Cincinnati needs to lose. Michigan and or Oklahoma State need to lose. And then they're basically in the discussion with Alabama, depending on what happens with the Alabama-Georgia game. I mean, it's – and again, this isn't a year – I mean, we're talking about a playoff field here where, you know, Cincinnati, maybe Oklahoma State, Michigan. This isn't Alabama and Clemson with Tua and Trevor, where it's like, all right, let's go. We're going to be 21-point underdogs, get our butts kicked, and just say have a nice season. But outside of Georgia, every team is beatable this year. Maybe Georgia's beatable. I don't know. Like, as good as they've looked, they haven't really been challenged yet, so I'm not comfortable saying they're untouchable. But, like, this is it, guys. Like, Brian Kelly, you spent 12 years fighting for everything, coaching up everything, recruiting everything. This is, like, what you did it for. And now you're going to LSU, where I no doubt it's easier to win, but you're not going there for the money. I mean, it's not – he was very well compensated in Notre Dame. He's not – again, I genuinely thought when I heard he was leaving that maybe there was some truth to that $250 million statement he made, because LSU is crazy enough to do it. And at the end of the day, no disrespect to Mel Tucker, but Brian Kelly's raise now puts him on the same bar as Mel Tucker, who just completed the first winning season he's ever had as a head coach.
The crazy thing to me, and a texter said what you said, like it's easier to win a championship at LSU. And my retort to that is, okay, but Bama, Georgia, Texas A&M, and the amount of time that you're going to get it right is not long. Ed Orgeron is gone for a litany of reasons, but the most important reason that Ed Orgeron is gone from Baton Rouge is because he stopped winning, and he won a national championship 2 years ago. So to me, it's a really interesting play by Brian Kelly when he clearly had command of what it was that he was doing in South Bend and seemed to have the support of the university and the administration. It's quite the gambit to make that move to what is about to become maybe the most daunting conference in the history of college football.
Absolutely. And, you know, that echoes a sentiment that I think a lot of people have said over the last 24 hours or so, which is like they're less shocked that he left than the fact that he left for LSU. And we say that because, look, there was a lot of smoke around USC. I don't know how real or not it was, but it got to the point where, as you played at the start of the segment, he had to publicly deny that he was going there. Putting the rivalry between USC and Notre Dame aside, I can picture Brian Kelly on the USC sideline a lot easier than I can picture him on the LSU sideline. I mean, that state is bananas about football. Not that it's the only state that's bananas about football, but as far as the entire state getting behind one program and so much interference and so many people you need to please and kind of measure. And don't get me wrong, I think no one is more equipped to do that than Brian Kelly. I'm just surprised that at the age of 60, after 12 years at Notre Dame, he wants to take on this challenge. And, you know, the other part that's interesting, and you alluded to this a little bit, Lawrence, you know, for much of the season, the two big openings were USC and LSU, and they hovered over everything, right? And, you know, you could ask anyone in the country which job you think is better, and depending on that individual's personal perspective, they would say one or the other. And my retort was always, you know, the last three coaches at LSU won national championships. Like, it's got to be LSU, right? And, you know, some coaches who valued stability said to me, yeah, and the last two also got fired not long after. So I'll take whatever I'm getting from my place right now and the comforts of knowing I don't need to look over my shoulder every single day, no matter what I do. So I have no doubt Brian Kelly can go to LSU and win big. As far as cultural fit, it's one that really stretches the imagination. But again, the guy has won everywhere he's been. He's made tremendous hires everywhere he's been. And, you know, in this case, he's going to have to go outside the family tree, right? I mean, you need guys who know how to get players in that part of the country. You need absolute bulldog recruiters. And he really, at least personally, he has not embraced that at all at Notre Dame, which, again, is why I'm surprised he left. I mean, he's recruited fine. Notre Dame's recruited fine. It's a damn good program. They have a chance to be in the playoff for the third time in 4 years. But we've all seen what happens when they face the Alabamas and Georgias of the world, right? Their players just aren't good enough to beat the other team's players. You need to get those players in LSU, and you need to roll your sleeves up and go head-to-head with Nick Saban, Jimbo Fisher, Kirby Smart, Billy Napier now, Florida, you name it. And that's something that Brian Kelly, frankly, has not had to do at any step of his coaching career to that extent, because he's always been at places where he can simply out-scheme people, and there's no out-scheming the other teams in the SEC West.
Who do you think takes over in the interim basis, and who would you like to see Notre Dame target long-term?
You know, the timing of this one really makes it tricky, Lawrence. There's a lot of push internally from some very influential people at Notre Dame to simply promote Marcus Freeman, the defense coordinator, to the full-time head coaching job. Now, if that were to happen, it would have to happen, you know, tomorrow, because LSU is making a very hard push for him right now to join Brian Kelly as his defensive coordinator. So it's an interesting question if you're Notre Dame, because by all accounts, they were not the most, how shall we say, aggressive or time-sensitive program when it came to the situation with Brian Kelly. Otherwise, I think Brian Kelly would probably still be at Notre Dame. So Notre Dame has to make that decision, at least if it's going to be Freeman, really, really quick. And 9 times out of 10, I would say, don't panic. You're a blue blood. You can hire whoever you want. Don't hire a guy just to save a recruiting class, because what's going to happen when those recruits are gone? Don't hire a guy just because the players want him, because those players are going to be gone soon. And this is about much more than just next year. But we're, again, Lawrence, we're talking about a team that could maybe win a national championship a month from now. So there's the element of don't fix what isn't broken. And this program is not broken. I mean, Brian Kelly did such a good job building it that, and next year's roster in particular is shaping up to be so damn good that, you know, whoever comes in can win and win big immediately. But again, there's the question of, we're Notre Dame, what should we do that's in the long-term best interest of our program? And, you know, the guy that everyone thinks would fit there perfectly, and who I think would as well, is Freeman's old boss, Luke Fickell at Cincinnati. But again, Luke Fickell's having a generational season at Cincinnati. They're probably going to be in the playoff, which is unheard of for a Group of Five program. I just don't see Luke Fickell leaving before Cincinnati's season is officially over, and that might not happen for more than a month from now. And if you're Notre Dame, I don't know how you go a full month without your guy. And if you're Luke Fickell, I don't know how you – he's all about, you know, what's next, what's now. I don't know how you do that with a team that's in the national championship chase while also saying, hey, yeah, Notre Dame, hang tight. I'll be there in a month. That's just a really tricky one to navigate. And the other guy is Matt Campbell from Iowa State. Now, Oklahoma's open right now. I would imagine he's in play there as well, but – I mean, those are the three names where I'd be surprised if it's not one of those three guys. Not to say that there aren't other qualified candidates, and not to say that there aren't coaches around the country blowing up Jack Swarbrick's phone right now to get an interview, but those are the three where I'd be really surprised if it's not one of those three.
Check out Matt's work at The Athletic. Check out the Shamrock podcast as well. Sir, thanks for the time. I really appreciate it. Let's talk again once we get some resolution on this.
I'm holding my breath. Thanks, Lord.
Thank you. That's Matt Fortuna. Check him out on The Athletic. He's really, really good. I'm glad that he had time after everything that was going on down in South Bend. We're going to take a break. When we come back, I want to talk about someone who I wonder if they've got a real serious case of buyer's remorse. I'll explain next here on The Score.
Lawrence Holmes live from Chicago, middays noon to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and Odyssey Station.
If we go back like 10 months ago, Urban Meyer is on TV being an analyst. And everyone's like, man, Urban's a really great analyst. He seems to be happy right now. And then the bombshell of he's going to be the new coach of the Jacksonville Jaguars. We're all like, why? Money? The opportunity to play with Trevor? And then, of course, it turns into something super comical where he's out here not with his team during on a short week and a bye. He's getting in trouble in his own bar back in Ohio. Didn't fly back with his team down to Jacksonville. I wonder if, and I know that he said that he doesn't regret anything, but think about the three jobs that came open that would have been his had he been available. The USC job. The Florida job again, and the one that's supposedly the holy grail for him, the Notre Dame job. And honestly, we could argue about the Texas one too. Had Urban Meyer stayed put in this place of being beloved analyst, he could have picked any job that he wanted where he actually would have succeeded and probably made as much, if not more, money than being the head coach of the Jaguars. I wonder when it's all said and done, when he reflects on this decision to go to Jacksonville, we go, damn, I picked the really wrong time to take the wrong job. I'll talk with the Parkins and Spiegel Show coming up next here on The Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.